the vow for observing Ekadasi and Dwadasi. Translation. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. Please repeat. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To observe Ekadasi Vrat and Dvadasi Vrat means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadasi Vrat regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage in his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Silaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanakya Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprastha or sannyasi. Matak yasya grihena asti bharya chapriya vadini ananhyam yena tena gantavyam yata aranyam tatagriham. A person who has no mother at home or whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest. Because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only, one's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need of household life. Om Agyana Timirandasya Ganandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sigurabe Namaha. I was going to read the next verse, so although Sesha is going to do 10 verses tomorrow, a lot of them don't have purports, and I know a little about the next verse, which was brought up a couple of weeks ago, so I'll include it in today's also. There's no purport to it. Rantante kartiye mani masi tri ratram samuposhita snata kadat kadachit kalindyam harim madhu vanerichat. In the month of Kartik, after observing that vow for 1 year, after observing a fast for 3 nights, and after bathing in the Jamuna, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in Madhuvan. Oh my God. There are several points from this verse that I wanted to speak about. One is the first word. Is it still up there? Is that first word still there? Arihad Yishu. Another one is Ekadasi, the Ekadasi Vrat. Prabhupada points out Tulya Silaya, that his wife was equally significant. This place where they performed their Vrat was Madhuvan, which is one of the forests of Vrindavan. And today is Srivas Pandit's Disappearance Day. So I'll speak on all of them and try to tie them into a theme that follows together. The first one, Arahadisyu, is a significant word. It means aspiring to worship. And the reason that it's significant, or one of the main reasons, is that we're fortunate to be in post-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent and revelation of what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. When Sukadev Goswami was speaking with Maharaj Parikit and spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, he really didn't mention Srimati Radharani. But this word, Araradishu, aspiring to worship, has the root of the same word that Sukadev Goswami used. Madan, can you put that other one up, please? It's from the 10th canto, the 30th chapter, which is the Gopi Gita, text 28. You'll remember that when Krishna and the gopis met, they began to exchange a little bit of some loving exchanges and dancing, and the gopis became proud that they were the most fortunate women in the entire universe. So Krishna disappeared also, as described in Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's Prema Samputa. He did this to glorify Srimati Radharani. And you'll remember when the gopis were running through the forest, looking, searching here and there for Krishna, calling to the trees and the bushes, and asking the deer and the different animals that they came across, and they were, "Have you seen Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And then finally, they found some footprints on the soft braja dust of Vrindavan, and saw that it was Krishna's footprint along with another gopi. So it was obvious that he had taken one particular gopi with him. And this verse is the verse which reveals the uniqueness of that gopi. Anahya radito nunam bhagavan hari arisvaraha yanno vihaya govinda prito yam anayadraha. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Jayadev Goswami was the first one in the 12th century to kind of pinpoint this topic in his Gita Govinda. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, when he met with Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he explained the kernel, the seed, the essence of this particular type of worship of Srimati Radharani, and how it's so unique that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, desires to understand it. It's so uniquely distinct from everyone else's love that he wants to take that position and understand what she's feeling, what she sees in him, the happiness that she experiences when she's with him. It's captivated him. So in this way, we see that similarly, Maharaj Ambarish wants to worship Krishna. Dwadasi, Akadasi Vrat, is meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And we'll discuss a little bit about different types of love here. Later on, when Krishna reappeared and they had found Srimati Radharani alone, the gopis were appreciating her love, seeing her feelings of separation. But they were still feeling kind of stung by his disappearing when they were enjoying their rasa dance. So they wanted to sting back a little bit. And they inquired from him when they were sitting on the banks of the Jamuna. The gopis said, they were discussing with him and they wanted to try to trap him and expose him as not the best of lovers. Some people reciprocate in affection only those who are affectionate toward them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical, and yet others do not show affection toward anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, so-called friends who show affection for each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. They have no true friendship, nor are they following the true principles of religion. Indeed, if they did not expect any benefit for themselves, they would not reciprocate. It's a very low form of exchange. Only it's mercantile. In other words, I'll do something for you if I get something in return. It's not true love. It's not true affection. It's motivated. And what's unique is, just like spirit can enter into the material or link with or animate a material body, the spirit soul is pure spiritual energy. But when entangled and involved with material nature and the three modes of material nature, they interact together. Although in one sense the soul is never affected or changed, it's covered, and therefore its expressions don't come out pure, they come out filtered through the modes of material nature. So similarly, in our attempts to serve Krishna, bhakti is pure, shuddha bhakti. It's a pure essence of devotion which all jiva souls have toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone's constitutional position, jivar swarupaya, Krishna nityadas, is to serve Krishna. But that expression becomes filtered through the modes of material nature, and sometimes it becomes mixed with one's motives. This is called mishra bhakti, motivated or mixed devotional service. And just like the three modes of material nature can mix and flux in so many different ways, similarly, our Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atma Nivedanam can become filtered through these modes of material nature. So there are many people, unfortunately, who don't even follow Ekadasi. Devotees. But it's a very simple process, actually, especially in the Western world where there's so much facility for foodstuffs, which aren't grains or beans, but are still very satisfying, fulfilling, and nutritious. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in that song, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula, says, Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani. Madhava Tithi means the holy days of the Lord. Madhava is a name for Krishna. Tithi is a lunar day. So the Madhava Tithi, Bhakti Janani. Janani means it gives birth to bhakti. So performing the Ekadasi Vrat means not eating grains or beans for the day. But by performing this, one grows, one gives birth to a more pure form of bhakti simply by performing it. In the mid-80s, it was around 1984, 85, 86, Krishna Balaram Swami translated one book from Hindi and Sanskrit called the Ekadasi Mahatmya. There are 26 Ekadasis. There's 12 months, so one would think there's only 24 Ekadasis, two for each month. But because of the Purushottama Mas, the extra month in the Vedic calendar every 4 years, so there's two extras mentioned there. And he translated the story of the glories of performing Ekadasi on those days, how those days appeared, and the benefits. The Vedas lure us. They give allurements. Follow this. Do this. And then they give some reward for performing that activity. So, in the lower forms of our reciprocation with Krishna, we're wanting something from him for our endeavor. This is similar to the type of person these gopis are talking to. It's a person who will only reciprocate when something's giving back to them. So even Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he said if someone worships the demigods, I make sure that they get the result of their worship so that their faith becomes strong. They believe in a higher power and they continue to do so. He's such a person that he's willing to reciprocate with someone even if they're motivated. And he gives a whole canon of literatures which enthuse one. But we also read that Srila Vyasadeva, after compiling all the Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra, the Mahabharata, all the different Puranas, was still feeling dissatisfied. Why? Because he had constantly included in every single one of these books the allurement of some payment, some reward, some fruit. But the gopis, this uniqueness which is being brought out in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam and by Lord Chaitanya, is that in all of creation, all of the spiritual sky and all the different Vaikuntha planets, even up to Dwarka and Mathura, this kind of love doesn't exist anywhere. There's no manifestation of such selfless, pure love, even for liberated souls. It's not that they want something in return, but their love isn't powerful like the residents of Braj. It's not. And therefore, Krishna himself understands this. And for some reason, he's captivated, he's overwhelmed, he's stunned by their love, and actually becomes controlled by it, because that's his nature. Someone loves you so much, you become indebted, obliged. And indeed, later in this chapter, he'll describe how your love is so great, I can't repay you. My dear slendered, wasted gopis, some people are genuinely merciful, like parents, naturally affectionate. Such persons who devoutly serve even those who fail to reciprocate with them are following the true, faultless path of religion, and they are true well-wishers. In the purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that of the two different kinds of people mentioned here are parents and those who are naturally affectionate. Those who are naturally affectionate are pure devotees of the Lord. Their nature, Srila Prabhupada used to sign his letters, your ever well-wisher. And indeed, he is our ever well-wisher. At every moment, there's one nice interview with Hari Sari, where he explains he lived with Srila Prabhupada. Chutnanda, you lived with people that had association with Srila Prabhupada, saw that no matter how much one gave to Srila Prabhupada, somehow by his overwhelming desire to be one's ever well-wisher, he gave us more than we could ever give him. So this is the nature of pureness. The pureness, when it manifests, it's eternal, it's unlimited. So this is the type of love that a pure devotee can offer. And a parent is a similar experience, where even though the child is a rascal, even though the child says, I hate you, or even though the child is totally motivated, the love of a parent for the child is so overwhelming, the attachment is so deep, that even still they love their children. So this is the nature of that type of person. Then there are those individuals who are spiritually self-satisfied, materially fulfilled, or by nature ungrateful, or simply envious of superiors. Such persons will not love even those who love them, what to speak of those who are inimical. So three kinds of people. Those who love only when they're reciprocated, those who love regardless of reciprocation or not, and those who won't love no matter what the other person does. It's an interesting concept. And if you take this kernel of three different types of people and filter it and flood it and mix it with the modes of material nature, you come up with all kinds of people, all kinds of living entities. It's all reciprocation with each other and with Krishna. In the beginning of devotional service, this is described in the commentaries on the definition of pure devotion by Rupa Goswami, is anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavartam anu kulyena krishnanu silanam bhakti rutama, that pure devotional service is performed simply for the pleasure of Krishna, Krishna anusilanam. In descriptions of that, it's described that there are two kinds of activities. One's called chaste rupa, the actions one performs with his body or her body. When one first takes to devotional service, they agree to do certain things and not do certain things, perform certain activities and refrain from others. It's a physical activity. By performing these instructions of the spiritual master and surrendering to agreeing to do our physical agreement of that or agree to do that, then gradually what happens is that one begins to awaken the spiritual awareness of who and what I am. And at that time, then bhava-rupa begins to manifest. One's emotions start to become involved. one's feelings, one's motivations, one's sentiments. So we shouldn't remain on this level where we perform our devotional service, whether it be a codicy, chanting our rounds, cooking for the deities, whatever it is, on the level where we're simply mechanically, physically doing these things, thinking that that's going to bring us like a conveyor belt back to Goloka Vrindavan. There's more involved as we continue the process. And this is where this next section comes in, which is nice. Srila Prabhupada points out that the words tulya silaya are significant. Unless a wife is equally qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Not only household affairs, life is very difficult to continue if we're not associating with devotees of the Lord. One's association. We have a person in our Bhagavad Gita class. Online. He was born in Hardwar. And in his college days, he came to America, started studying, started drinking, started eating meat, living with his buddies, becoming socially involved in that way. Then, and started studying a little bit of this and a little bit of Christianity and some Islam and dabbling in different things. Was married. His wife is a Shiva Bhakta. His child was born with, I think, Down syndrome or something. So in his course of searching and doing different things, now he's in his 30s, late 30s, he took the Bhagavad Gita course, and it was like a fire. We know that concept that we all have Krishna consciousness within us. Krishna prema sadhikama nai. That it's dormant within everyone. Him, he like awakened to a whole realization that he'd been contaminated by all this new lifestyle that he had taken up once he came here. And now he's having the hardest time trying to realign himself and get back to what he knows he wants to do with his life. So he went to a 4th of July party, and instead of drinking and associating with his friends the way he did previously, he was not drinking. And he was hearing the music, and he wrote that he didn't even like the music, and he kind of just grabbed his kid and he sat over in a corner and just kind of zoned out and chanted bhajans in his mind. But he was so miserable associating with people that are not devotees of Krishna, because it doesn't help foster that sentiment. It doesn't help us at all. So if someone, if Prabhupada in this purport is quoting Chanakya Pandit, saying if you're in such a situation, if a person is in such a situation, of course he's not advocating, as in our immature days many people just left their home situation and thought, well, this is not good for my spiritual life, and left. And we see the result of that wasn't necessarily promising. But if a person, after time, long time, repeated attempts to try to bring their spouse or family members or whatever it may be to at least a favorable condition that will help one, then it's expressed here. Leave that. Don't continue with such attachment to the point where it hurts your spiritual life. This is what's being described here. Which, on the other hand, leaves us with a great responsibility of being good association to those who are around us, to those who associate with us, to our friends and other devotees. Because this association of devotees is actually like an active ingredient in devotional service. Like when you buy a product, you know, sometimes there's so many other things which kind of hold the active ingredients. Active ingredients, one of them is sarasanga, association, is so important. Another one is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. These are active ingredients that cleanse the heart and help one advance. And finally, we note that Maharaj Ambarish did this, performed this activity, this particular vrat, in Maruvan. Maruvan is in the Vrajmandala Parikrama, Vrajmandal, the area where Krishna used to play. Mathura is in the center of that whorl of a lotus, and then the 12 forests of Vrindavan are compared to petals of that lotus. From Mathura, when you do a parikrama walking around those 12 petals, Maruvan is the first forest. It's right next to Talavan. Who under 20 can tell me what happened in Talavan?
Nobody.
Ah, you under 20? Dhenukasura was killed in Talavan. In Madhuvan, this is where Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerities in Satya Yuga. If you go to the banks of the Jamuna in Mathura, one of the ghats is called Dhruva Ghat. That's where Narada Muni and Dhruva met when he was on his way to the forest. So where do you think King Uttanapada's kingdom was? So similarly, we're not talking about kings off in Persia or Arabia or Istanbul or Europe or something. We're talking about kings that are devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, Maharaj Ambarish, as a matter of fact, there's a real nice verse that Tamahar had the other day. Maharaj Ambarish gave up all attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends and relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses, and inexhaustible jewels, and to ornaments, garments, and inexhaustible treasury. He gave up all attachment to them, regarding them as temporary and material. And here, we see that he's performing Ekadasi Vrat. Now, the concept that one who's renounced all of that is doing Ekadasi Vrat for some payment, for some fruit, for some good karma, they don't go together. That's why this word, Arahadishu, is used. Because he's doing this action to, it says here, to worship Lord, Prabhupada says that those interested in advancing it must observe Krishna regularly because it pleases Krishna. To observe Ekadasi Vrat and Dvadasi Vrat means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Chaitanya, Mother Sachi came to him and was asking, what should I do to advance spiritually? He didn't even tell her, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He said, follow Ekadasi. Simply a follow Ekadasi. Twice a month, don't eat grains and beans. So please, whoever you are, listening wherever you are, it's a very simple thing. It's the mother of bhakti. It will help mature and nature. And tomorrow, by Krishna's arrangement, is Ekadasi. Simple thing. And finally, let's read a little bit about Srivas Thakur. Prior to Lord Chaitanya's advent, Srivas Thakur appeared. He was older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a matter of fact, his wife Malini was a very close associate of Sachimata. She used to associate a lot with Jagannath Misra and Sachimata. So Srivas Thakur, let's read about who he is. In the Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, Srivas Thakur is described as an incarnation of Narada Muni. And Sri Ram Pandit, his younger brother, is said to be an incarnation of Narada's friend Parvat Muni. Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini, is celebrated as an incarnation of the nurse Ambika, who fed Lord Krishna with her breast milk. And as already noted, his niece Narayani, the mother of Thakur Vrindavan Das, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, was the sister of Ambika in Krishna Lila. We also understand from descriptions in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, Srivas Pandit left Navadvip, possibly because of feelings of separation, and domiciled in Kumarhatta. So while he was living in Navadvip, or Mayapur, at that time, of course, was where it is now, and across the river in the town of Navadvip now, Kaliya, there was one scholar whose name was Devananda Pandit. And Devananda Pandit would regularly hold discourses on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and hundreds of disciples would come to him. He was very expert at speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srivas Thakur heard about him and wanted to go and listen. So Srivas Thakur went, and he was listening to the class, and Devananda Pandit was speaking so nicely. and quoting these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Devanand and Srivas Thakur began to feel this Bhava Rupa. His emotions became overwhelmed. He began to shed tears and shake, and he started rolling on the ground. And the students thought, what a nonsense Bengali this guy is, and kicked him out of the class and said, you leave here. You're just disrupting our Guru Maharaj's discourse, you nonsense sentimentalist. And Srivath Thakur, he humbly, oh, Hare Krishna, sorry. And he left and never said anything to anyone. He simply went home. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through his childhood pastimes as Nimai, and then went to Gaya after his father passed away, and he began chanting and dancing in Srivath Thakur's home. And we all know that one pastime where Lord Chaitanya sat on the Vyasasan and began revealing who he was to everyone. And he told Srivath Thakur, do you remember that time you went to Devananda Pandit's? I watched you. You had, and Srivath, that was the way that Srivath Thakur was convinced, yes, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I never told anyone, never complained, never said anyone. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew, yes, I know you. I know what happened to you. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, went to, one time before he took sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was over in Kulia, and he walked by Devananda Pandit's house, and Devananda Pandit was inside speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became enraged. And he said, what does this fellow know about the meaning described in the Bhagavatam? He will never know the Bhagavatam, even in many lifetimes. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary avatar of Krishna himself. The Bhagavatam promotes bhakti as the ultimate goal of life. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the four Vedas. It is the literary form of divine love. The four Vedas are like milk, and Srimad Bhagavatam is like the butter. Sukadeva Goswami is the churner of that butter, which was eaten by Maharaj Parikit. That Sukadeva Goswami who is dear to me knows the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva expresses truths about me. He expressed my own opinions. My servants and I are glorified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who finds a difference between me and my servants will find all his good intelligence destroyed. An irreligious person who rejects bhakti and finds some other meaning in the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And from within his own home, while he was speaking, Devananda Pandit could hear Mahaprabhu speaking. And he thought, oh, this upstart, Nimai Pandit, he thinks he's so learned. He doesn't know anything talking about me outside. And he didn't say anything. Years later, Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. And we know that he stayed there, and then he traveled throughout South India, met Ramananda Roy, traveled to all those different places, came back to Puri, and still wanted to go back to bathe in the Ganges, see his associates, go to Ramakeli, meet Rupa and Sanatan. So he came back to Nadia. He didn't go back to his home village, but he went back there. Before that, I went too far ahead. One time, when they were in Koladweep, there was a huge kirtan and at someone's home nearby to Devananda Pandit's house. So the description is here. One day in Kulia, or Koladweep, Vakreshwara Pandit went to visit the house of a devotee. That evening, Vakreshwara Pandit was absorbed in kirtan and dancing. Hearing news of this, the people gathered from all around to take part in that kirtan. As the night went on, more and more devotees began arriving there. Hearing this news, Devananda Pandit could not maintain his steadiness. He also hurried to that place where the kirtan was happening. Seeing the empowered figure of Vakreshwara Pandit and hearing his sweet kirtan, Devananda Pandit was astonished. He stood transfixed for what seemed like hours. As the night wore on, the crowd grew, and in attempts to push forward and see the dancing of Vakreshwara Pandit, it became boisterous and rowdy. Again, the Bengalis. At that time, Devananda Pandit, with a cane in his hand, held the crowd back and quieted the mob. When Vakreshwara Pandit, after dancing and dancing, fell to the ground overwhelmed by ecstasy, Devananda Pandit carefully picked him up and held him on his lap. With his own scarf, Devananda wiped the dust from the body of Vakreshwara Pandit. In this way, it was on that day that Devananda Pandit began his bhakta seva, his service to the devotees. After Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and he came back to Kulia, all the devotees who had committed offenses to him came to him. At that time, in the place known today as Aparad Bhajanam, or the place of amnesty, Mahaprabhu granted forgiveness to all who gathered there, and instructed them in the science of devotion. This is where Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, has his Devananda Gaudiya Math at that place, because this is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave mercy to everyone. So Devananda Pandit, similarly, came to him and begged forgiveness. And Mahaprabhu told him that with your mouth, you drank poison. Now with that same mouth, you can take the ambrosial medicine of glorifying the devotees and counteract that poison. So in our similar existence, we've done so many different impious, improper action. But Mahaprabhu is giving the medicine, the remedy for this disease. Rather than criticizing, rather than finding fault, rather than always trying to find that problem with someone else, if we transfer our vision to the good in others, to the bhakti that's being performed by them, try to encourage that, try to inflame that. This is what Srila Prabhupada did. Look who he was dealing with. He could have found fault every day, all day. What good would it have done? Always finding fault, you're speaking nonsense, no, this isn't the philosophy. No, he spoon-fed everyone and gradually pulled them along. So in this way, we can take a lesson from that. And there's a little more time if you want to read one more wonderful pastime of Srivash Thakur. One evening, Sri Gaurasundar, accompanied by his associates, was engaged in chanting and dancing in the home of Srivash Thakur when one of Srivash Thakur's sons passed away after having suffered the effects of some disease. Within the inner apartments of the home, the women began to wail in lamentation at the boy's untimely death. Srivas Pandit, who was outside in the courtyard, understood some tragedy must have taken place. He quickly entered his home, only to find that his son had passed on to the next world. As he was a very grave devotee and completely conversant in the science of the absolute truth, he was unable to console the women in their grief. He said, "You are all aware of Krishna's glories, so please restrain yourselves and don't cry. Whoever during his last moment hears the Lord's holy name, even though he might be a greatest sinner, attains Krishna's abode. And that incomparably wonderful Lord, he whose glories are sung by all his servants, up to and including Lord Brahma, is now personally dancing in the courtyard of your home. This moment is so auspicious that it is sure this boy has successfully completed his journey from this world. Is there something to be lamented in this? His good fortune is completely assured. I can understand that whatever part I have played in this is also crowned with success. If you can't control your emotions because of your family affection to this boy, then at least don't cry now. You can cry later. The Supreme Lord of Gokul himself, Sri Gaurasundar, is performing Sankirtan accompanied by his devotees in this house. If due to your crying, the happiness that he's experiencing from dancing and ecstasy during Sankirtan is disturbed, then I will just this minute jump into the Ganges and give up my own life." Now who here? I hope everybody has a little more understanding of what they might do. 911. Imagine the sentiment of Srivas Thakur. His son died, and he's considering. This is Narada Muni. This is Braj Bhakti. This is Shuddha Bhakti. Simply for the pleasure of the Lord. I don't care about my own inconvenience. Mother Sachi, the same thing. She said, "I don't care about my inconvenience as long as Nimai is happy." This is how we, a sentiment that we should try to pray to Srivas Thakur to imbibe us with. One time Narada Muni wanted to witness Lord Krishna's pastimes at Radhakund. His pastimes at Radhakund are in the most remote part of Braj. They're away from Govardhan. We know from the stealing of the cows and the boys that sometimes the cowherd men taking care of the cows and the cowherd boys taking care of the calves come together. But at Radhakund, it's an area that's completely away from everything. And this is why Krishna and Radha, every day in their Astakaliya Leela, at noon, they meet and perform their daily pastimes in a very intimate place. And only Krishna, with all the gopis, is there. And Narada Muni wanted to witness this. So he went there. And the same as the rasa dance when Lord Shiva tried to enter. No. No male is allowed here. You please go. You go. You don't care if you're Narada Muni. You leave. We want to enjoy with Krishna. So he went to Kusum Sarovara, which is just down the street a bit ways. Across the street, there's a kund there. And he took bath, just like Lord Shiva did in Manasarovara, and took on a female gopi form and went to Radhakund and witnessed these things. So he knows these things. These people, we'd read in the Gauragonadesh Deepika, Ambika, Krishna's nurse. These people are intimate associates of Krishna, and they're coming to help him experience the love, the mood of Srimati Radharani in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they're willing, they want to give out their blessings and their mood to us. So with open arms and arms raised, we should, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Pray for their blessing. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srivastakur ki jai.